I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Thank you for joining us today. I brought in a guest to continue this conversation. Let's talk about sex. Mr. Troyvon III, also known as Trey Amazing.
Indeed. Thank you for having me.
Now listen.
And it is amazing.
It is amazing. We've been preparing to have this conversation, I guess, for a couple of months after I met Troy. And so now today is the day. Troy, tell the people about you. Tell them a little bit about your background, because I can't do it justice with this little paragraph that you gave me.
Okay.
Professionally, who you are, and then how you got into doing what it is that you do.
Okay. All right. Well, number one, thank you for having me. Mm-hmm. Professionally, people know me from my past in public health, but outside of that, people know me on social media as the creator of Ringside, which is an organization based on debate between outspoken, over-the-top, and opinionated men and women who debate issues surrounding love, singlehood, marriage, dating, sex, and divorce.
Mm-hmm.
So most people on social media know me from that. People know me also as the host of Ringside ATL, which is a podcast brought to you by Push Radio. And so professionally, I would say, you know, people know me as a dating commentator, public speaker, and entrepreneur. So, and that's, I've been in this genre for about 8 years, and so far, everything is looking rosy.
So before you came in, I was talking about the health benefits of sex, and I was just talking about the fact that, you know, sex is natural. It's healthy.
Very natural. And, very healthy.
Right. And when it is engaged in a way that is mutual and respected by the people who are engaging in it, it has a lot of benefits to it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know a little bit about you. And so what I'm really interested in our listeners knowing is how you came up with this concept. Tell them what Ringside is.
Okay, so Ringside is started off as a live debate where, similar to what people will encounter with Battle of Sexes events, you bring outspoken, over-the-top, and opinionated men and women who want to get and want their own podium to express their issues regarding, you know, what they experience in dating, marriage, love, so on and so forth. So we started off doing live events, and then we eventually got onto social media and decided, well, in between our live events, because we were only doing live events maybe once every, you know, couple of months,
mm-hmm.
but we wanted a way to keep our followers engaged in these debates in the interim. So we created a social media group on Facebook around 2011 where we invite people from all over the United States, you know, a few parts, you know, overseas, and they debate these topics on a regular basis. And the point, the crux of the organization is for people to understand various points of views on these topics, to understand that there are other people in the dating hemisphere and horizon that feel differently as far as dating and marriage, and it's a way to glean other perspectives and other ideas as far as these polarizing topics.
So this show is entitled Let's Talk About Sex,
mm-hmm.
but you talk a lot about, you know, marriage and dating and all of that.
In addition to sex,
yes. In addition to sex. So,
yes.
So which part do you focus on in terms of sex, though? What does that look like?
Well, the debates we talk about as far as, you know, a lot of the issues and as well as benefits of sex,
mm-hmm.
because, I mean, even though we debate, we also share articles and different stories that talk about benefits, some of the issues, you know, regarding, you know, STDs or some of the ways sex can complicate things between people, regardless if they're in a relationship or if they're just casually dating, but also even in marriage, because I think a lot of people understand either they've experienced it or they've observed how people either dating for a long time or being married for a long time, sex can sometimes go downhill, and nobody wants that.
So In your experience, how important is sexual compatibility inside of a relationship?
Very important. I in my opinion, is priority because, just like you mentioned earlier, sex is natural.
Right.
It's something that, you know, it's not anything that you have to, you know, kind of go and program yourself. It's just going to come naturally as far as, you know, your likes and your wants. And when you're with someone, you're dating, and especially in marriage, sex is going to come up, no pun intended, but there has to be that compatibility because it is something that is essential. It is something that binds. It is an expression of love, an expression of lust and desire. And if two people are together and that there is a breakdown or a lack of communication, then the trajectory is just going downhill regardless.
So, of course, in my practice, I do a lot of work with couples. Mm-hmm. And so I hear a lot of couples having concerns about not being sexually compatible.
Mm.
And largely in part because there's not enough conversation on the front end before the marriage takes place about what it is that we want this to look like. So before you came in, I was saying that one of the things that influences certainly the way that we look at sex, especially as women, it's how we were raised.
Right.
It's what we were taught, is what we were told. And depending on, you know, your Christian or spiritual or religious upbringing, whatever that might look like, if you were told certain things, it can then have an impact on how you go into a marriage or a relationship and how you view sex. So sometimes from men, I hear this desire to want to marry someone who has not had a lot of sexual partners,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, you want her to be
experience.
A freak in the sheets.
Exactly.
Yeah. So how do you merge those two concepts as a man mm-hmm. in terms of you want her to act a certain way, but you also want her to be this other person over here who hadn't been touched
right.
that many times?
Just like you were saying earlier, we all, men and women, have to deal with how we were raised, you know, upbringing as
right.
well as social conditioning. You know, men, we're told one thing, women are told something different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can certainly relate to being younger and being around men, and you kind of become indoctrinated, like part of being a man is going out and having sex with many women and gaining partners, this and the third,
right.
building up experience. And I understand with women, the message may be slightly different. There's a disparity. But I do understand because a lot of people, particularly men, you want your wife to have that air of purity,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
being untouched. But at the same token, it's like you don't want that to translate in the bedroom because you want her to, you know, perform like a
right.
porn star.
Right. So how in the world, you know, what are the younger ladies supposed to do? Because we're not talking about the over 50 people.
Mm-hmm.
That's our age group. I think the over 50 people have kind of figured some things out. But, you know, for younger women who are trying to figure this thing out, y'all confusing folks.
We confusing?
Yeah, you're confusing them because you want them to be pure and all of this, but at mm-hmm. the same time, then you want them to be bringing something to the process in the bedroom. So anyway, we going to come back to this because as
okay.
y'all can see, this thing about to get real heated up in here.
I got some thoughts.
Uh-huh.
News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
I'm Dr. Adrian, spinning in the big chair with my guest, Trey. Troy Vaughn III, and we are having a conversation about sex. But before we pick this up, we got a caller, first-time caller. We got a virgin on the line.
Ooh, virgin.
Uh-huh, Tommy.
Hey there, how you doing?
Hey, good. How are you?
I'm wonderful, wonderful.
Hey,
wonderful.
What's your question or comment?
Well, I mean, I want to commend you because you seem to be asking all the right questions of men in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I have two sisters, and I pray for them daily. They're grown,
mm-hmm.
But it's not easy being a woman and choosing a mate, a black man, out of the lousy choices that are out here.
Mm.
And I can say that because I'm a black man.
Okay.
So I can say that without any recourse. The problem with us as a culture, just in general, beyond relationships, is that men really have no concept of how to lead themselves, so it's impossible for them to know how to even lead a woman, much less lead their families.
Mm-hmm.
Until they understand themselves and understand that they should be leading on a spiritual level, developing a relationship with God. Because to answer your question about the confusing nature of wanting a pure woman and a freak, most guys are confusing because they don't really follow any principles.
Mm.
They like to pick and choose spiritual aspects, like I'm the head. They like to tell the woman, I'm the leader. I'm the leader. And they don't even realize that that's a spiritual thing. That's in the Bible, right?
Mm-hmm.
That man is the head. So they like to take that, but they don't like to, but they just kind of pick and choose what they want to follow. They say they want a virgin because, and that's a spiritual thing. They kind of want a woman that's pure and things like that. But the minute that they find one, like you said, they say that, oh, yeah, she's boring, or she doesn't know what she's doing in the sack. Or if they find someone who's a freak, they usually, demean them behind their back and call them a freak and a, HO and all this other stuff, right? You ask them, it's like, I thought that's what you wanted.
Well, and you know what, Tommy, even to your point, the terminology that you are utilizing, the word freak, that is a negative term. And
right.
So typically when women hear that term, they don't feel good about what is being suggested about them. And as a result of that, that's where inhibitions come from. And that's where you run the risk of, I can't really be who it is that I want to be if I am a sexual woman, because I have to be concerned about somebody saying something to me that's negative and that's demeaning to me. And
right.
The reality is, sex is natural, and it's not just something that's pleasurable for men. It can be pleasurable for women. It should be pleasurable for women as well.
It's supposed to be pleasurable for both.
It's supposed to be pleasurable for both. So thank you so much, Tommy, for your comment. Appreciate you calling. Keep listening, okay? Thank you. Bye-bye.
Nope.
All right, Mr. Troy. So,
all right.
Yeah.
That was a lot.
So here we go.
Okay.
So one of the things that I think is a myth, even though research shows that men think about sex more so than women, we know that.
Okay.
But it is a myth that women don't think about sex, especially women who are in a certain age range.
Oh, y'all think about sex.
Absolutely.
Y'all
because women hit their sexual peak at a different point in life.
That's why I always loved older women.
Is that why you always loved older women? How about that?
And I always loved older women.
You always, but research does show that men tend to think about sex on average 4 or 5 times a day,
mm-hmm.
when, the average woman may think about sex 1 time during the day.
Now, I guess my retort to that is, do you think that is something predicated in biology, or do you think it's just, society? Is there more sexual expressions geared towards men than women, or sexual imagery, things like that. Trying to figure out, is this something that as men, are we born more sexual or more inclined to sexual thoughts than women, or is it just society putting forth more sexual energy geared towards men?
Yeah. I definitely think that that's what it is. I think that the whole discussion around sex is taboo, first of all. And so when you start to talk about it, it's interesting. I can remember when my father would make statements about how young ladies are supposed to do certain things. Like a young lady shouldn't be out after midnight, and a young lady shouldn't be doing these things. And then, a young lady should be a virgin when she gets married. And I thought, but males are not being conditioned that way. So I'm like, okay, if they being conditioned to go out there and get as much as they can and have as many sexual partners as they can, then how in the world are they going to find a young lady who hadn't been touched by somebody? Because they're going to be getting it from somewhere.
Right.
So it's this double standard that exists in so many different things, but in particular when we're talking about sex.
Oh, it's definitely a double standard, and I've never once agreed or condoned it. It almost makes you think about, what's been in the news on social media lately with the whole T.I. and daughter and the whole Hyman thing. It makes me think about, is he doing the same things for his sons as far as his daughters in terms of, being mindful and watching over, their sexual activity and beliefs, even though he got a lot of, negative publicity about that. I really thought he was overstepping his boundaries, but I'm like, if you're telling one thing, why aren't you telling, why aren't you telling your sons the same things you're telling your daughters? And it is an issue that a lot of people are going through as far as their upbringing, the boys, you know, we're not given the same, you know, rules or instructions
right.
that, you know, the daughters are getting.
Right. Well, but I hear that all the time. Mm-hmm. I hear it all the time from men who say that they were raised that you should have a wife, but make sure you have a girlfriend on the side, because at a certain point, you and your wife not going to be having as much sex. So you got to have your girlfriend over here to make sure that your sexual needs are met. And the problem with that is that's why you got so many women who aren't having orgasms inside of their marriages, because you've got some men who are having to keep up with, based on what they were taught and told mm-hmm. and how they were conditioned, that this is the way it should be. I've had men to come to my couch who say, you know what? I struggle with that mm-hmm. because had my uncle or my grandfather not said that to me, I probably would have been good over here with just my wife.
Mm-hmm.
And women are not conditioned that way. Women are conditioned. You in your marriage, you meet the needs here, you do what you're supposed to be doing here. But at the same time, that conditioning, that upbringing sometimes can shackle you and make you feel like some of the things that you might desire or fantasize about, they're wrong
mm-hmm.
because how is your husband going to view you?
Certain behaviors are stigmatized, mm-hmm. certain thoughts, certain, you know, and there is going to be a difference, you know, as long as we're telling young boys one thing and young girls something different.
Absolutely.
When they get older and they all come together,
right.
then there's going to be a problem in the bedroom.
That's exactly right.
And at the end of the day, number one, is we all have to deal with upbringing. We all have to deal with social indoctrination, but it gets to a point as you get older, you're going to have to try to merge and reconcile those beliefs with their own individual beliefs.
Right.
Because I think we all can relate to the fact that we have to understand certain things that we may have been taught as young men or just growing up, they may not be what's best for us.
Right.
You know, case in point, yeah, a lot of young men were taught, go out and get as many sexual partners as possible.
Right.
That's what makes you a man. That's what makes you cool.
Right.
But then as you get older, you realize, well, it is kind of double standard. If I'm looking for a woman and I expect her to be pure or have less partners than I did. And,
right.
and that's always going to be another big issue and problem. This, you know, topics about body count. You know, what happens if, as a man, if I'm dating a woman, she has a higher body count than me.
I was just about to ask you, how important is that for men when they are beginning this courtship mm-hmm. thing, to know how many sexual partners a woman has had? Like, is that something folk really ask?
Some men do. Personally, I will say this, I don't care. As far as body count, your sexual partners, at the end of the day, number one, how am I supposed to prove or disprove whatever you tell me? You may not, you know, you could be truthful, you could be lying, you may not even know. At the end of the day, I don't care. The only thing I care about and what's priority is, what are your test results? I didn't know what the STD and HIV test results.
That's right.
That's the only thing I'm concerned with. Everything else, I know you. Number one, I know you're not a virgin. I know you've lived life.
You
you've been in relationships.
Not a virgin. Right.
At the end of the day, that's what matters. If you come back negative on all counts, then we can forget about what happened before I got here and just focus on moving forward.
And what I tell people is, don't ask questions that you don't want to know the answer to.
Like, you might not be secure enough for the truth.
Ooh, listen, this thing about to get heated up in here.
Mm.
When we come back, we're going to be talking about the big O. We're going to be talking about masturbation. Let's talk
Ooh.
About sex. Yeah, we
talking
about
masturbation, porn, yeah, all
we,
that.
We talking about all that. It's News and Talk 1380 WAOK. I'm Dr. Adrian. Come on back now.
News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Indeed.
And we are having some rich conversation about sex. And before I go back to Tommy, he wants to add a comment about double standards. I just wanted to go over some basic statistics. Men want sex more often than women at the start of a relationship, in the middle of it, and afterwards. So men always want it. Men also say they want more sex partners in their lifetime and are more interested in casual sex than women are.
Mm.
Men are very rigid and specific about who they become aroused by, who they want to have sex with, and who they fall in love with. Women who regularly attend church are less likely to have permissive attitudes about sex, whereas men say they can go to church and it doesn't impact their sexual attitudes at all.
At all.
Women's sexual attitudes, practices, and desires were more influenced by their environment as opposed to that for men. So, yeah, just some interesting things that I wanted to bring up as we continue this discussion. And let's see what Tommy has to say. Tommy, are you there?
I am. Thank you for taking my call one last time.
Absolutely.
I just want to chime in about that whole double standard thing. I agree with you all to a certain extent. I just think you have to be careful because I think sometimes we accept some double standards and not others. For example, I've been married for 15 years, and I'm pretty sure that my wife would turn her nose up at me if she saw a mouse in the house, or if I saw a mouse in the house and I screamed at the top of my lungs and jumped on top of the table in fear. Whereas if she did that, that's socially acceptable. It's actually acceptable in my house. If she saw a mouse or a roach or something and screamed, it would be okay. But if I did it, I would be seen as less of a man. I believe that I don't have a problem with that double standard. It's acceptable. It's acceptable in my house. It's a socially acceptable type of thing. And we kind of accept certain double standards, like that one, like a punk man who runs if someone tries to break in my house with a gun. And my wife sees the man and runs in the back to be with the kids and leaves me out there alone. That would be perfectly acceptable. You call her a great mother. But if someone came in the house with a gun and I saw the man and ran back there with the kids to protect them, I would be seen as a punk. And I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that. But I think that that's also a double standard, but that's one that we kind of accept. So I think if women have their few double standards that are acceptable, men have to have double standards that are acceptable as well.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for your comment. Appreciate you for listening. Take care. All right. So what? Yeah, listen, what we know is that we have double standards in society. With regards to a whole lot of things. And I think that what is important is that as we move forward as adults, we just have to have honest, open dialogue in terms of what our expectations are when we are entering into relationships or inside of marriages or inside of situationships. Just got to learn to have some honest dialogue and stop judging each other, you know, and create a space that is safe so that if there are certain things that a person wants to indulge in or introduce the other person to, have a dialogue about it. And hopefully, if there is a level of trust there, then the two people can decide in a healthy and mature way whether or not they want to partake in certain things.
I mean, when it's all said and done, the alpha and omega of successful relationship, just like a successful sex life, begins with communication.
Absolutely.
You have to communicate, and just like you're saying, if you're with someone, you need to create an environment or a space where they don't feel judged by communicating what exactly they like, you know, what turns them on, what turns them off, because we don't want to get in the space where you meet with someone and you tell them the things that you think they want to hear as far as what you like and what you don't like, because at the end of the day, you know, we can't expect people to read our thoughts and read our minds. If you like it a certain way or you feel like this way will get you to, you know, O-Town a lot quicker, then communicate that, convey that.
Well, we're going to talk about Old Town in a minute, but before we talk about Old Town, we're going to talk about M-Town.
Okay, let's go.
We're going to talk about masturbation because a lot of times, depending on, again, how you were reared and conditioned, you might think that masturbation is a bad thing, and especially more so for women than for men because, you know, I frequently hear people talking about young men or young boys perhaps spending longer time in the bathroom. And everybody kind of knows what it is that they're doing. But when it comes to females, nobody's really talking about masturbation. And if you don't know your own body and you don't know what it is that brings you pleasure, you're not going to even be able to get to Old Town anyway. And you're not going to be able to give anybody instruction in terms of what it is that your body needs and what it's going to respond to.
You don't know. You haven't taken the time to figure it out or explore it yourself because it's your body. Your body, you know what you like. You know what stimulates you. You know what you know, takes you there when you need to go there. So, but if you don't know that for yourself, then you can't communicate with anybody.
So men, for men, 2/3 of men say they masturbate even though they feel guilty about it. But with women, about 40% of women say they masturbate, and the frequency of masturbation is much smaller among women. So research suggests that men masturbate more often than women. And what I hear from the couch is that the reason why they are doing it is because they are not having enough sex inside of their relationship. Is that what you find to be true and what you're hearing? Or
that may or may not be the reason. Some men just chronic masturbators and just turned on all, you know, regardless.
Which can have an impact then on how you perform sexually.
Absolutely. So, I mean, you do. Number one, I think that the existence and the presence of masturbation in a relationship, it does not necessarily mean, it's not always indicative of a deficiency in the bedroom. It can. Some men, you know, just like you were saying earlier, as far as the frequency men get, you know, turned on or horny or sexually aroused throughout the day, some men use it as a way of quelling certain feelings when their woman isn't around, when she is unavailable, or that time when she's, you know, shut down for business. And then sometimes it's used as a, you know, I know for me, I could say I use it sometimes as a sedative to help you go to sleep.
And you know, and here's the thing that, you know, people disconnect from. Sexual arousal is about blood flow for men and for women. And for women, the largest sex organ is our brain. And men, y'all missing the mark when you don't take the opportunity.
We're trying to get better.
Listen, you got to take the opportunity to talk to what is between our ears. Because once you do that,
the rest will follow.
Let me tell you something. All bets are off. Once you make love to a woman's brain, oh, you got her. But that's the part that men are missing, because you all are so physical. And so y'all thinking with a different head than we are.
Yes.
And because of that, if you would just kind of merge those two together, some of that masturbating that some men say they're having to do will go away.
Well, you know, it's always going to be a mistake when, and I know I can speak from experience as a man, if you're trying to engage and approach a woman the way, you know, would be effective for you, and that's not always the case.
That's right.
Just like you were saying, okay, as a man, you may not need to go through my brain or mind to get everything else, but I can't do that with a woman because the results are going to be disastrous.
Yeah, and you know, having some conversations about desires and needs, that piece is important. We're going to talk about that. It's News and Talk, 1380 WAOK. Call us, 404-892-2703, if you want to get in on this conversation. Let's talk about sex.
News and Talk, 1380 WAOK.
News and Talk, 1380 WAOK. I'm sitting here with my friend Troy Vaughn and producer extraordinaire Sean Garvin. And if y'all could just hear what goes on during the breaks, we have the best conversations during the breaks, but we are having some rich dialogue about sex. And I think healthy dialogue.
Indeed.
And, you know, we have covered everything. Well, not everything, but we have covered several things in terms of conditioning and how you're raised and what you believe and how you come to believe what you believe, and talked a little bit about masturbation. And because we were leading into, as Troy called it, the road to O?
The highway to the big O.
The highway to the big O. So, you know, I got some data for you here.
Hit me.
Look, so among men who are part of a couple, 75% say they always have an orgasm. But only 26% of the women inside of couples are actually having orgasms.
That's a shame.
Yeah, it is a shame. But, you know, and then there was a statistic that said that 45% of the time when women were faking orgasms, men had no clue that they were faking the orgasms.
Either we have no clue, or sometimes we just don't care.
That right there.
Yeah, something like, for some men, depending on his connection with the woman, his desire, is this a random hookup, or is this my girlfriend or my wife? Depending on that, he may or may not care. For some, it could be a case of, as long as I get mine, then you need to concentrate on yours.
Wow, how about that? And so right. There are a lot of women out here who are unfulfilled inside of their marriages, relationships, situationships, because they don't even know what it means to have pleasure on that level and to have an orgasm.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you would think that at a certain age that there's been some conversation, but a lot of times you don't know what you don't know.
Right. Only way to find out is to find out, and you need to find out. Number one, if you're with...
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Someone in a committed relationship or marriage, you need to ask yourself, am I with someone that I feel I can open up to with these concerns or these thoughts or what I really like, or even just expressing, hey, I may not know what I like. So without that communication, both of you are just bumping around in the dark, hoping to find, you know, that highway to the big O. One of you may get it, the other one may not. And the fact that you have so many women out here who are, deeply involved in marriage or committed relationships, and they may be having sex regularly but not getting that complete fulfillment, that's a tragedy.
Well, I had a client, and this has been some years ago, but they had been married for 37 years.
Short time.
She said that she had never had an orgasm.
In 37 years?
In 37 years, she said that she was, what she said was she was unsure. She said, I don't know if I've ever had an orgasm, because they were coming to me for divorce counseling.
Mm-hmm.
So she had decided that they were going to get a divorce, not necessarily because of the sexual piece, that was a part of it, but, you know, it was some other stuff that had gone on as well. There was some infidelity on his part, lots of it, but I thought that it was so telling that she would say, I'm not sure if I've ever had an orgasm. Because all I could think was, if you're not sure, you probably have not.
Like, it's a very distinct feeling. So if you have to question, if you're sitting up there like, did I have an orgasm? You probably did not have one. It's not anything. It doesn't come with a warning or a bell. You either know or you don't know.
Right. And then I just thought, I felt so sad for her to have been inside of a marriage 37 years, not knowing if she's ever been fulfilled, but I certainly knew that there were other areas inside of that marriage that were not fulfilling for her. That was clear. And, you know, that piece where I was talking about the brain being the biggest sex organ for a woman, what it said to me was he could not have been talking to her sex brain.
He was trying to talk to something else.
Yeah.
And not her brain. I mean, we realize even if you're with a partner, I've heard, you know, from women in the group, women in Ringside, they can say that regardless of, you know, their physical attraction to their husband or whatever the case may be, there could be other factors that could be preventing them.
Absolutely.
You know, it could be money issues. It could be, you know, chores around the house or rearing
the children. Right.
So if these other things are in disarray and other factors going on with her home life are out of place or she feels unsure, then it's hard for her to focus. It's hard for her to even be in the, you know, in that here and now in the bedroom, because you can be with someone in the bedroom, they can still be miles away.
Right.
Or
be thinking about somebody else. I've had the clients that have said that, Troy, and they're like, you know, of course not saying it in front of their partner or their spouse, but saying, you know, that they have to literally fantasize about someone else in order to connect with their spouse. And, of course, my response to them is, why can't you have a conversation with your spouse about what your needs and desires are so that you can connect with the person that you're with? And some people are just not comfortable doing that.
And we say, you know, as many times we can say communication 100 times a day, we understand it's easier said than done.
Mm-hmm.
Because, of course, you can sit down. Well, I would hope someone would feel like they can sit down with their partner and express themselves. But we have to take consideration. People think about, okay, I don't want to hurt this person's feelings.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to bruise their ego. I don't want to make them feel insecure about their bodies or their sexual performance.
Right.
So these are things that we understand can preclude communication. But we also have to think about, okay, think about the bigger goal. Think about, you know, what you want ultimately, which is to be in a fulfilling relationship, be in a fulfilling marriage where, in addition to, you know, the other things that come along with marriage, you want to be satisfied in the bedroom. You don't want to live a life where you have to pretend, you know, to be more into something, you know, with your partner when in actuality you'd rather be with someone else or you'd rather be alone or you don't even know who you are, what makes you feel desirable or sexy. Hence why not enough people are on that road to O-Town, and O-Town is becoming very, you know, not a lot of population there.
Well, you know, and the other thing is that piece of being comfortable with who you are,
mm-hmm.
and what your needs and desires are. Because a lot of times people just don't feel comfortable having that conversation, or they think that it's going to be selfish for me to say, this is what feels good to me, or this is what I need you to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that conversation will bring you much closer to a partner than not having it. Because
absolutely.
When you are not totally honest with that person, you are also lying to yourself.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you're lying to yourself. You're doing a greater disservice to yourself than anything.
Yeah.
And so regardless of what you may like, certain acts, behaviors, you know, we talked about earlier, we understand that certain things are stigmatized. You may want or desire somebody. You may think, okay, if I ask for this, how are they going to view me?
Right. That's exactly right.
Are they going to question my loyalty? Are they going to question my sexuality? Are they going to question me?
Where did I get this from?
Right.
You
know, all of
that.
Who taught me this?
Right.
Right. So these are concerns that people that would give people pause and say, you know what? I'm going to just keep this to myself, and we're just going to keep bumping around in the dark, and hopefully one day we're going to get it right. And sometimes it doesn't happen. In many cases, it doesn't happen.
So I know that in your group, there's a lot of discussion about the use of pornography
mm-hmm.
and sex toys.
Indeed.
And so what is that conversation like from the majority of the people that are following you and involved in your group?
Most people in Ringside are not opposed to pornography.
Mm-hmm.
The issue becomes if you have one partner who abuses porn so much to where it interferes with sexual activity
mm-hmm.
with the partner.
Mm-hmm.
Like we were talking about masturbation. If it's at a point where you're masturbating more and not, you know, engaging your partner, then
right.
we got a problem, you know, code red. But I think all in all, people are not, you know, use porn for what it is. You can use it as a tool. You can use it as, you know, maybe some ideas, but it can't be a crutch. It can't be a Band-Aid for issues and deficiencies in a sex life.
Yeah, because now from my perspective, the couch perspective, you have to be careful because depending on, you know, how you utilize pornography, because I've seen couples that use pornography.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is the man or the woman might be attracted to someone in the pornography that does not look like the person they're
absolutely.
In a relationship with.
Comparing.
And then you've got some insecurities that are now going to surface.
I'm like, is that what you like?
Right. Because they don't look like me.
Is that what you want me to do?
Right.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.